Our guest speaker today really doesn't need an introduction because he's family. It's like once you're on the preaching team, you never get off, okay? And so it doesn't matter if you leave for 3 years. When you come back, you're still on the preaching team. And so I walked in, and Christy's up on the worship team, and I look, this is awesome. Jeremy and Christy Hamby, I've known them for years, since they were children, it seems like. Jeremy hadn't even met Christy. He told me when he met her, and they got married. How long have y'all been married? 18 years, okay? I knew him before they had four beautiful daughters. And Jeremy, when he was single, was involved in our Generation Jesus meetings, our stadium events. He dates back that far. We love him. Then he and Christy got married, and they've been out of town. They've ministered on the road. They've obeyed God at every stage of life. No matter what he asked them to do, they've obeyed God. And you know, there's ups and downs in life, but if you just keep obeying God, he'll get you where you need to get. And right now, they're on assignment in Dalhart, Texas. And they are pastoring a church much larger than this in Dalhart, Texas. We had the honor of ordaining them 3 years ago, sending them out with the blessing of this house. They got this incredible word from Sean Bolts about they're going to bring revival to Dalhart. But that's not a surprise to me, because Jeremy brings revival wherever he goes. He brings revival. He's just a walking revival. You know, if you talk to him for 15 minutes, you're going to be revived. And so I am just so honored that Jeremy and Christy Hamby are with us today. Thank you for helping us on the worship team this morning. I loved it. And Jeremy, I'm going to turn it over to you and take your liberty in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lena. Wow, Pastor Easy and Pastor Lena. Wow. How cool is this couple? They're like a power team for the kingdom, aren't they? It's an honor not to just know them, but to be ordained by them and to be sent by them and to stay in relationship with them. And whenever we call, we don't call all the time, but when we do, it's going to be 3 hours. And so anyway, it's just amazing to catch up and to see everybody here. How many of you know where Dalhart is? Dalhart, Texas. How many of you know where Amarillo is? Okay, we're about an hour and 15, 20 minutes northwest of Amarillo. So sometimes we do sing Amarillo by morning on our way to the grocery store. And we go to Sam's in Amarillo and we have fun there. But it's great to be here. The name of the church God has called us to pastor in this season of our lives is called People's Church. And it's an amazing group of people who we came down about 2 years ago. And we brought down a group of about 12 or 13 of them, and they got to meet some of y'all. And they still talk about that. Some of y'all found them on Facebook and vice versa. And so it's just neat to stay connected. We are in the same state, right? I mean, but it's like a 14-hour drive with a couple of stops, you know. But I'll tell you, it's good to see some faces and to catch up. I mean, before church, I'm glad we showed up early so we could, like, catch up a little bit. But you look good. You look really good. You look really good. Look at the person next to you and say, you look great. Now look on the person on the other side and say, you look great too. I'm sorry I didn't pick you first, though. But I was talking with Pastor Lena the other day, and there were a couple of things that I wanted to share with you guys this morning. How many of you love Jesus? We're all here because of him, right? The Epicenter. Love the Epicenter. We love the worship, and God bless this worship team. Amen. It rocks, man. You guys don't know. You don't know. And you're not going to know because you're not going to go check out another church and find out. Because this is your church. Amen. This is our church, right? And can I start out with a joke real quick? Okay, because I like laughing. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? A pastor had dinner at the home of a couple in his church. And we do that, right? After he left, the wife said to her husband, I think he stole our spoon. What? The pastor stole our spoon? This bothered her for a while. A year later, the couple had the pastor for dinner again, and unable to resist, the wife asked, did you steal our spoon last year? And the pastor replied, no, ma'am, I put it inside your Bible. Oh, mic drop. Oh, woo. And that's like pastors. That just gives you like warm fuzzies as a pastor. Yes. July 31st marked our first Sunday in 2016 as the senior pastors of People's Church. And so it's been 3 years, you know, and just being here in Houston and seeing all of our friends and family and all the Starbucks everywhere and the malls and Costco. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We prayed, Lord, do we need to go back to Dalhart? But yes, we're going back in the morning. But not before we talk about Jesus and his word and talk about a few off-the-wall things. How many of you, since you've been following Jesus, you've stopped wondering when weird things happen? You just, I mean, it's not that you turn every corner and you're like, well, that's weird. It's not every corner, but it's a lot of corners, right? And it's some of these defining moments, right? Like the burning bush that Moses came across, or like the dreams that Joseph had. And it's like, what do we do with this? But just the fact that you stop and you ponder is what God wants. Because we're never going to figure it all out. He just wants us to look in his direction. Amen. Mom and Dad should have named me David so I wouldn't be Jeremy the crying prophet guy. So Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. But anyway, they were going to name me Abra because our last name's Hamby, so it'd be Abra Hamby. I'm kidding. Just a joke. That's joke number two. But the weird things, the off-the-wall things, the wonders. We've had a few of those lately, and I wanted to share a couple of those with you. The first one, we went to Wisconsin a few weeks ago and hung out with Christy's mom. We go to this city about a half hour away called Rhinelander, Wisconsin. We're getting ready to go head back to Eagle River. And Christy goes, well, I'd like a coffee. And I said, well, how about we try this mom and pop place right here? And she goes, okay. So it's a drive-thru. And I posted this a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. But we go through this drive-thru, and it's a Maytag dry cleaner. It's an ice cream shop and an espresso store all in one. I mean, what more do you need in life? Clean clothes, ice cream, and coffee. That sounds like heaven, right? I mean, no garment with spot or wrinkle, you know? So anyway, we go through the drive-thru, we order, and this lady comes back for my debit card with a brace on her wrist, and then she goes back to pay, and this young lady brings us her coffee, and I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit, one of those off-the-wall things, you know? It's like, pray with that woman for her wrist, and I'm like, but what? I don't want to. I mean, this is weird. I don't know her, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you've done that, it's still a little weird. And it should be, because we should never become experts at the wonders. And so I just said, okay. I said, hey, young lady, what was that lady's name? She goes, oh, Barb, let me go get her. So she comes back, and I said, ma'am, what's your name? She goes, Barb. And I said, why do you have that brace on your wrist? And she says, a few months ago, I had surgery on my wrist. And 3 days after I had surgery, I slipped and fell and broke my wrist. And she goes, I'm living on ibuprofen. And so I was like, well, I said, well, we come from Dalhart, Texas. We pastor a church. And yesterday we just got a testimony that a lady in our church, her ex-husband was just healed of cancer, for stage 4 cancer. Jesus healed April's ex-husband of stage 4 cancer. Amen. Amen. Yeah. What's the name of the hospital here everybody goes to for cancer? See, MD Anderson, we don't have that in Dalhart. We have to believe God for a miracle. Because the helicopter ride from Dalhart to Amarillo is about $25,000. So anyway, I just told this lady, I said, this friend of ours back home, her husband was just healed yesterday of stage 4 cancer. We got the testimony. And I said, God's been healing people of things in our church just because we're praying and believing God to do it. We pray, God does it, right? We don't do it, God does it, right? And so anyway, I said, can we just pray with you for your wrist? And she goes, okay. So she holds out her wrist, and I just gently laid hands on it. And I just asked her to repeat after me this simple prayer of, Lord Jesus, I believe you bore my pain on the cross with my sin. Would you just please heal my wrist? We waited a second, and then I said, okay, hey, thank you, Jesus, for healing my wrist. I receive that healing right now. And all of a sudden, Barb's eyes kind of get big, and I'm like, what just happened? You know? I mean, we're the believers in the car praying, and I'm like, what's going on? Is it happening? You know? I said with confidence, you know? And she goes, I don't know, but like a heat surged through my arm, and it drove the pain out, and it's all gone. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. You know, John Wimber, who went to be with Jesus, I think it was in 97, he wrote a book called Power Evangelism that is just, it's awesome, man. And I love watching him because he just wore like Hawaiian shirts and he just sit there and pray with people. He went to London, Holy Trinity Brompton in London, an Anglican church. And it's one of those old churches. I mean, like the beautiful churches, structures in England. And he went there in the 80s. He went on 5 prayer walks in London and didn't know why. And then the Lord brought him back through an invitation to minister at this Anglican church. And he did. And one of his guys that came with him said, there are 12 people here this morning. It was a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. He said, there are 12 people here this morning who have athlete's foot. Now, that's embarrassing. Raise your hand if you have athlete's foot. And 11 people raised their hand, and the guy goes, I know I heard 12. I know the Lord told me there are 12 people. And this guy that was sitting on the front row who was a barrister, which is an attorney in London, he's like, okay, all right. So he raised his hands, and his name was Nicky Gumbel. And he got healed within a day or two of the athlete's foot. He said it was pretty persistent, but he was embarrassed, you know. He's like, I'm a barrister. I don't want to tell anybody I've got athlete's foot. You know, I guess in London, you ask everybody, how are you? They go, I'm fine, thanks. That's what they all say. So anyway, Nicky Gumbel went out in the spirit on the floor right there. And John Wimber, they started carrying him out to the back because the Holy Spirit, the power of God just came over him so much he just fell out under the power of God. How many of you have ever had that happen? It's awesome, isn't it? And so anyway, while he's laying there on the floor, the Anglican church is like, what do we do with this? What's happening? We've never seen this, you know? Is he okay? Is he okay? Somebody bring him a cup of tea and some crumpets, you know? I don't know. So anyway, they carry him out to the back, and as they're carrying him out, John Wimber says, I don't know who that guy is, but God's giving him a gift of evangelism. He's downloading something into him. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Alpha Course. So that man who was on the floor, his name was Nicky Gumbel. And as he's being carried out, the Lord downloaded into him the Alpha Course that's gone around 160 nations in 30 some odd years. And 28 million people have gone through the Alpha Course and have gotten saved and given their life to Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. But all through a man who wore Hawaiian shirts and just sat there. So, Alan, hey, man. You just never know. You just never know. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, on this other odd instance was, how many of you ever have sinus trouble? How many of you know what Afrin is? Afrin. Okay. All right, so we're in Eagle River, and I went to Walgreens on 7-7, on July 7th. And so pay attention to the numbers, because I'm going to share a little bit about these numbers. How many of you know the Bible, God uses numbers sometimes to speak to people? Amen? Did you know, how many of you know, in the book of Genesis, the word dream, dreamer, dreamed, is in the book of Genesis 40 times. I counted it twice. And so anyway, God's into numbers. And so anyway, I mean, there's a book called Numbers, right? So I mean, so he's into numbers. So anyway, on 7-7, I went to Walgreens in Eagle River, and I found a nickel and a quarter. Okay? Now, usually, how many of you, if you see the little copper coins on the ground, you leave them? Pennies? Leave them on the ground? But I mean, if you see a quarter, anybody from the 80s? I can play a video game with that. I got this. Now it takes like 8 quarters to play a game. But anyway, I found a nickel and a quarter, 5 cents and 25 cents, 30 cents altogether. And the next day, so I was like, I told Christy, I was like, guess what I just found on the ground? She's like, what? And I was like, a nickel and a quarter. She goes, oh, okay. So I was like, no, I think that's cool. You know, it was right behind the Suburban. I'm walking in to get Afrin, and I come back out. And I picked up that nickel and the quarter, and I'm just like, I wonder if God's trying to say something. So the next morning, I wake up, and after I checked the verse of the day, I checked Instagram. So anyway, I was like, what's going on out there, you know? So anyway, I looked at Instagram, and how many of you have ever heard of a guy named Bobby Connor? He, like, flows in the prophetic. I think he's, like, from East Texas. And when I say he flows in the prophetic, what I mean is, because as a pastor, what I'm trying to learn to do is not just act like everybody knows what that means, okay? So let me just take a second. The prophetic is when you hear something from God, you believe it, and you share it. And sometimes people get words from God that just make like the hair on your neck stand up. It's like, what? You know, so these prophecies, prophetic words, it's God's original version of fortune telling. The world ripped it off, right? But God does this stuff. Didn't you do something at like Whole Foods one time? You put a little chalkboard out, and what did it say on the sign? Spiritual readings. Come by, sit down, let me talk to you about spiritual readings in your life. And that's basically what prophecy is. And why does God give us prophecy? For a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's warnings. Sometimes it comes in dreams. Sometimes it comes through somebody you do know. A lot of times it comes through somebody you don't know. Sometimes it is that burning bush experience out there where God just arrests you and gives you a prophetic word directly. And so the word of God says, and I love it that it's 2020, but it's 2 Chronicles 20:20, and it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So who wants to be established? Amen. Who wants to prosper? Well, yeah. You know, I saw something the other day that says there's a lot of Christians out there that are against prosperity in your life. Not in their own, right? So it's like, amen. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so prophecy, right? So I'm like, okay, a nickel and a quarter. So I wake up, check out Instagram, and this man named Bobby Connor, who's a prophet, he released a brief prophetic word on 7/8 on Instagram about finding coins on the ground. I'm like, what? No way. You know, I like sit straight up in bed, you know? And on 7/22, 15 days after I found the quarter and the nickel at Walgreens, I was at the gym in Dalhart, and I walked over to the leg press. Pastor Easy, you would be so impressed with us. We're working out up there for Jesus. We're staying fit, spirit, soul, and body. So anyway, 15 days after I found the quarter and the nickel at Walgreens, and the reason I'm sharing this is because I think it's for us. Not just me, but us, at the body of Christ, okay? Because it came from this guy, too. And so anyway, I go over to the leg press, and I find another nickel and a quarter. I mean, random, right? 15 days apart, 1,210 miles apart, I find a nickel and a quarter. 25 cents and a nickel. And the same random event, right? And so, and in between those two events, on Instagram, this man of God shares a prophetic word about finding coins on the ground. And I'm going to read you his word that he shared. I wrote it down in my journal. And how many of you have a journal? Amen. Love journals. And so, he says, for some days I've been having a strange thing happen. I will be walking along and suddenly coins will fall at my feet. Most of them are brand new coins. I found coin after coin. Sometimes I just look down at my feet and there's a coin. This has occurred over and over again. I inquired, asking, Lord, what is this about? And I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm like, what's this about? And he quickly replied. The Lord replied to his heart. He said, announce to my people, and that's why I felt like this was a word for everybody. Announce to my people. Raise your hand if you are God's people. Amen. announce to my people that change is in the air. Change is in the air. A fresh wind is blowing. This fresh wind will change our outlook and our attitude, removing I can't do into I can do. Amen. And I'm just going to put it out there. It's not a deep message, but it's a real one. It's kind of like, Jeff, you were talking about the basics. What is it that you think you can't do? And I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying in love, knock it off. Stop saying I can't do what I've called you to do. Well, I don't know what he's called me to do. Well, it's all right here. Which part is he calling you to do today? Right now, right here. It's all right here. What are you not believing God for? And stop. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. You can walk into one locker room after the Super Bowl, and then you can walk into the other room, and you can tell who won. Why? Because they know something. They saw the score out there. They were in that game, and they know something. And they have allowed that something that they know to change their attitude. Amen. And so, the number five, because of the nickel, represents grace and favor. And I've got this PDF from online about biblical numerology. And it goes from numbers 1 through 40. It doesn't have decimals or halves or fractions or anything. It's just numbers 1 through 40. And it's pretty interesting. But the number 5 represents grace and favor. The number 25 for the quarter represents blessing. So I'm like, favor, grace, and blessing. Ooh, yeah, come on. And then I'm like, well, if I add them up, what's 30 good? What's 30, you know? So 30 in this guy's PDF, and he gives a lot of scripture about it. I mean, he tells you the 30th time Jesus' name was mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. I mean, like that kind of stuff. It's pretty detailed, and it's cool. Number 30 is dedication for rulership. Amen. There's a verse that says that we reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And there's this book that splits the Bible almost called Proverbs, right in the middle of the book. Proverbs, which really means to reign. That word Proverbs means to reign. And that's why you go through there and there's this king named Solomon who wrote down this wisdom that God gave him. And you can read that and learn how to reign in life. When you sit before kings, put a knife to your throat. Consider the ant. A little sleep, a little slumber. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff in there, especially he who finds a wife. Come on, somebody. Finds a good thing. So here is Mrs. Good Thing. That's my good thing, Christy. So anyway. Husbands, tell your wives you love them. Boyfriends, girlfriends, you could do that too. Say, I love you. Take a second. Just do that. And if you're in faith, just say, I love you. I love you so much. Hey, we had a youth pastor. No. I'm believing. Stop saying I can't. Amen. But no, we had a youth pastor at Grace Community Church. My dad was pastoring over there in Missouri City, and Louie was our youth pastor. And Louie, he'd go to lunch, and he was single. He'd go to lunch, and he'd tell our secretary, you remember Louie? He'd say, hey, listen, I'm taking a lunch break. If my wife calls, tell her I'll be back. But get that number. Get her phone number. That's before caller ID and all that stuff. So anyway, the number 30 is dedication for rulership. Number 7 is the number for completion, because it was July 7, completion and spiritual perfection. The number 22, because that's when I saw the second set of coins on the ground. The number 22 stands for sonship. And 15, the number 15, because it was 15 days apart, stands for new direction. And the number 8 because that was Bobby Connor's date to give his word, means new beginning. And I know you guys, talking with Pastor Lena, that you guys have gotten some words that God's not done with the Epicenter. He's not done with Generation Jesus. And I'm glad she's kept the email address, right? Is it lena@generationjesus.com? And don't you dare mess with that either, because you will get an email from her. So she's copywritten that. This church is hungry to see God move. And this morning, I just want to say seven times the word revival together. Can we just say that together? Revival, 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 revival. You can have what you say. And you just said it. And so I release that word on you this morning that God is saying, announce to my people that change is in the air. A fresh wind is blowing. How many of you could use a little fresh wind in your relationship with Jesus? Some fresh wind in your sails. Amen. A fresh wind is blowing, and this fresh wind will change our outlook and attitude, removing I can't do into I can do. And you know, every time I hear Pastor EZ preach, it's faith. And it's I can, I will. God's good. Have faith in God. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. All things are possible. Be it unto me according to your word. And he looks great. And I praise God for you guys. I really do. And I just thank God his hand is just moving in your body and just completing that healing. And I can we just take a moment and thank God for his healing power? Just take a moment and just say out loud, Lord, we just thank you for your healing power in our bodies. Lord, the cancers that you've healed. Lord, the tumors that you've removed. God, the eyesights that you've repaired, God, and the deaf ears that you've opened, God. Lord, the broken bones you've healed, Lord. The livers and the kidneys and the lungs that you've replaced, God, and the circulatory systems, God, that you've renovated. We just give you praise, God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We almost yawn sometimes when we hear that verse now, don't we? It's like, what's the guy's name? Steph Curry has it on his shoes. It's like, come on, man. That's the holy word of God. I'm glad he's got it on his shoes. But let's not let it become mundane. It still never gets diluted. So just close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and just say this, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Amen. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open to Jude chapter 1, verse 5. There's only one chapter, but I said chapter 1, verse 5, so you weren't like looking around. But did you know Jude was Jesus's little brother? Stepbrother. Half brother. Jude was Jesus Christ's half brother. Jesus was born of a virgin, amen? Jude was born through Joseph and Mary. And so he writes this in Jude chapter 1, verse 5. He says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What? But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And I want to throw this phrase out there to you, because here's the phrase. We were saved so we could believe, not because we did. We got saved so we could believe, not because we did. God set Israel free from 400 and some odd years of slavery so that they could believe. He delivered them not because they believed. He delivered them so that they could get to this place called the Promised Land but it was going to require them to believe. Amen. I mean, even in the wilderness, they're like, man, why did you bring us out here, Moses? To kill us out here and make us a mockery to the nations? Man, if we could just get some leeks and onions by the Nile again, that'd be great. But it's like, you brought us out here to kill us or what? They're in the middle of this process and they're not believing. Amen. I remember one of the first messages I preached here a long time ago was called, well, it's actually when I was getting ready to go up to Wisconsin. And it was a message called Believing and Get Going. That you can't get going until you start believing. And I was going to name it Leave It to Believer. For some of you other ones that remember the TV show Leave It to Beaver. But honestly, the promised land, God has left that for the believers. Leave it to believer. And I remember taking that step of faith, getting out of the boat and starting to travel a little bit on my own. And I was like, I'm getting out of the boat, but Jesus, show me that money. It's like, woo, you know, need that money to get where I'm going. Amen. But we were saved so we could believe, not because we did. And I shared a word just a few minutes ago from Prophet Bobby Connor. And you know how you can tell if a prophetic word is for you? If you believe it. But wait, he was talking to somebody over there. If you're in the room, God is no respecter of persons. Maybe they needed to hear it right then and right now, but you can receive it too. Because Jesus was on his way to go heal a priest's daughter who was 12 years old, and a woman came and interrupted the process. And she grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment while he's going to raise a little girl from her deathbed. And Jesus said, I felt virtue leave my body. Who just touched me? And his disciples are like, what are you talking about? You're surrounded by people. He goes, no, but somebody touched me by faith. And I say this. He does this every Sunday in every church that honors the name of Jesus. He's here to meet with his people. But if somebody touches him, virtue will flow and hit the need where it needs to be hit. And so if you're here, my mom used to write notes when I was in school to the head office when I miss a day or two. We didn't know who it was, so she'd write it to this, to whom it may. So if you're concerned, it's for you. Amen. If you'll just lean into the burning bush, God will speak to your heart and he'll change your trajectory in life. But you know, when God speaks, and I love this about God. When God speaks, and I heard Apostle John Kelly say this in Georgia earlier this year. This was crazy. But I was like, hey, I've never thought of that, but that's so true. When God speaks to us, he's usually brief. Now, when prophets unpack it, sometimes they get, you know, some more words with it. But if you boil it down to what God is saying, it's usually brief. And to the point, short phrases or a single word. And I think he does this for two reasons. Number one, so we don't forget. You know, you remember in kindergarten that your teacher would, like, pin a little note on your chest? You're walking around with this, you know, this big old piece of paper hanging around you. And you're like, I'm just the messenger, Mom. I don't even know how to read this, but okay, here. Right? And so anyway, so anyway, I think he does it for two reasons. So we don't forget, so we don't lose it, you know. He pins it to us with a short phrase. And number two, so that we have to press in and so that we have to stay connected for the rest of the word to unpack and unfold in our lives. So believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God. And you'll be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know, Jesus didn't just say, you'll have what you say. We've got a lot of people with these mantras. They're trying to slogan God into something. And God doesn't do that. Well, if I just say my positive confession enough times, it's going to happen. No, it's good for you, but to get a transaction from God, It can't just be you saying something. It has to be you believing what you're saying. Amen. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible and then your mind kind of wanders and you're like three pages down the road and you're like, I don't even remember what I read. Right? I mean, at least it's a good book in front of you, but I think God wants our minds to be engaged. Right? And not just saying these fancy phrases that a church in another area comes up with and posts it on Facebook and you're like, well, I like that. I mean, you can receive those things, yes, but is it something you can believe? Because God will do whatever you can believe him for. Amen. And so it's about believing. And the name of the message today is Coin the Phrase. Coin the Phrase because of the coins. I want y'all to remember that word. The quarter and the nickel. The 7 and the 22. The 15 and the 8. I want you to remember that. And so, and absorb it into your heart, into your spirit. Because one day you could receive a little random phone call from somebody you've never heard of, from a city you've never heard of, from a church you've never heard of, and say, hey, would you like to pastor a church? Well, wait, I'm in the oil and gas industry. Okay, sure, why not, you know? Why not? Okay. But it's not just we'll have what we say. It's we'll have what we say if we believe in our heart. Amen. And so, John 6:29, Jesus says that our work is to believe. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not on the surface. If it was, everybody'd be doing it. I mean, we're called believers, right? But I mean, I'll raise my hand and say, hey, I need God to help me believe him for more. I mean, how many of you have ever heard of the prayer of Jabez? In I think it's 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, he says, and Jabez, whose name means one who causes pain, that's a great name. Weeping prophet's better than one who causes pain, I guess. But, O Lord God, it says, and Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, saying, O Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, or that you would, I've heard somebody unpack it like this, that you would increase my capacity to receive from you. And that your hand would be with me. That's important. Because we're not working for God, we're working with God. And that you would keep me from evil so that I may not cause pain. Amen. God says, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in the New Testament, I think it's in Peter, it says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I thought, well, holiness, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He also said, pursue peace with all men. So you may be walking holy before the Lord, but you're not seeing God in your life. Maybe check the peace part with all men. Maybe check that. Am I walking in peace with all men? Amen. I mean, the Bible doesn't have love, 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 love so many times because it's easy and because we always get it done. But he does say, love this guy, love that guy, love this person, love that person. Walk in love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We even have a hard time loving ourselves. But Jesus said, love yourself. So there's the capacity to love yourself right there in Christ's words. If we believe, though. And so, so how do we shift from unbelief to belief? And I know Pastor Lena loves, is it alliteration when the first letter of each word is the same? Okay, so alliteration. It's been a while since English, you guys. Number one, change your comrades. Maybe you need to change your comrades, who you're hanging out with, who's your circle. Well, Jesus hung out with sinners. You know, Jesus dined with sinners, but he hung out with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And then he hung out with 12 disciples. Okay, people flocked to him. People invited him.
And I know a lot of people that have gone to the bars to try to start a ministry there, and the strip joints to start a ministry there. And before long, because they're not covered and because they're not called to do what they're doing, they slip into that lifestyle. Doug Stringer talked about a couple who went downtown on Montrose to witness to homosexuals and prostitutes and drug addicts and homeless people. And they just had a rebellious spirit about it. And Doug's like, you guys need a covering. No, we don't. The Lord called us. He's like, okay, I warned you. And before long, they're divorced. He's living a lifestyle of sin, and she's a prostitute. It's like, what the heck is going on? God gave us authority for protection and a covering for protection. Amen. And I know this church is very awesome at honoring the authority of God and in the house of God. Amen. And so change your comrades if you have to. Change your conversation. Come on. I mean, I know. I drove to the office this week here in Houston. I still do some work on the side for the oil and gas pipeline company. So I know it's hard to keep your mouth shut when you're in Houston traffic. It's not easy. You need the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, it's like, did you hear about that little boy whose mom was taking him to school one day? And the mom's driving him to school. The dad usually takes him, but the mom's taking him. And a little bit down the road, the kid goes, hey, mom. She goes, yes. He goes, how come all the idiots only drive when dad's driving? I don't know. So change your conversation. And number three, change your contemplation. So change your comrades, change your conversation, change your contemplation. They said that when people get delivered of drugs, like meth or cocaine or some type of addictive drug, that they have to change almost everything in their life. They have to change their circle of friends. They have to change a lot of times their geographical location because it's just so easy, so many triggers. So friends, their vernacular even has to change because they speak a whole different lingo. Amen. And that's how it is when we come to Jesus. And we still keep coming to Jesus. Change me, Lord. Transform me by the renewing of my mind so that I can prove what your good, your acceptable, and perfect will is, God, through my life, so that I can authenticate to a lost world what your will looks like. I mean, you know, I saw a post by Kerry Newhoff this morning, and he said, you know, God, the fact that God uses people like us who have flaws is evidence that he has tremendous unconditional love. Amen. Amen. I love it when God knocks me off my high horse. Amen. I love it when he does it in private, though. But think on what God has already done. I can't remember. You know, it was scary. Recently, I cracked open my journal, and I'm like, this 7 days, I'm going to think of 5 testimonies in my life where I know God did something amazing. I'm gonna be honest. I sat there tapping my pen on the journal too long. I've been sitting there. I can't remember what God, I can't remember offhand. Yeah, he saved me. Okay, that's one. He saved me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. That's two. And I'm like, okay, what else? It's scary. It's scary because we're human and we forget so many times what God has done. And in Psalm 78, it tells a scary story. It says that the tribe of Ephraim turned back in the day of battle because they forgot the wonders of God. They were equipped, they were ready, they were armed to the teeth. But they turned back in the day of battle. They were ready, they were equipped for victory. But they turned back in the day of battle because they forgot the wonders of God. The wonderful acts of God. And it's like, listen, when God does something wonderful, take a minute, write it down in a place where you can keep it in front of you. Amen. And so, reviewing the promise until you can see it is what builds faith. Amen. This place is revival. This place, standing room only. This place, Generation Jesus 2. Round 2. Round 2. exploding in this city. Why do you think it keeps growing, this city? Why do you think it keeps growing? Because so are you. Amen. He's changing I can't to I can. Amen. Romans 4, 17 through 22 says that God and his sons call things which be not as though they were. You know, we've heard that verse that a lot of us, anybody can call it like it is. You know, he's just a realist. He calls it like it is. I still haven't found that verse that says, blessed are the realists, for they shall receive from God. Walk by realism and not by sight. I forgot that tweet from the Holy Spirit in here somewhere. But it's walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You know, and in Mark 11, 22 through 23, I think, you know, Kenneth Hagin preached on this a lot. Pastor Easy has preached on this a lot. And I knew I heard a story about a man that came up to Kenneth E. Hagin at the end of the service. And he goes, Brother Hagin, this is after he's been in ministry a long time. And he goes, when are, you know, every week you preach on, every service you preach on Mark 11, 22 through 24. When are you going to preach something new? And he goes, when you get it. When you get it. Okay. I went to a conference in California in October last year, or late September, early October. Pastors I'd never heard of, a church I'd never heard of, but I Google searched Confessions of a Pastor. I Google searched how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was just wanting to see what's out there, right? And I see this one. It was like glistening. And it said 5 ways to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I can do 5. How do we do this, you know? So I cracked it open, and it was this Pastor Steve Dittmar from Camarillo, California, a Jubilee church. And he goes, he has this testimony, and I love the testimony. It's about Joseph and the dreams in Genesis. And he goes, number one, well, here are 5 ways to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are interested in this? Number one, pray. Number two, pray. Number three, pray. Number four, pray. Number five, pray. Profound, right? Profound. And what's prayer? Conversation with God. A two-way. And honestly, my prayer life is just all over the board. My prayer life isn't like something that people are going to write books about necessarily, you know? Because it's quiet. I'm quiet a lot, especially since I became a pastor. Because I don't have a lot to tell God about pastoring. I'm just like, well, how do we do that? And then I just sit there, tapping my pen. Well, how do we deal with that situation, God? Tapping that pen. Because I don't know a lot. Oh, I know Jesus. And I love the Holy Spirit. And I love the Word of God. And I guess we've crammed enough of that in us to where he sends us on a mission for him, to work with him, and to do some things. And I just feel like if you get enough of the Word of God in you, he'll turn you loose. If you'll believe what you read. And just stay there on one verse until you know that you know that you know you believe it. I'd rather get one verse in my spirit than read the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation without it, without getting it. Amen. As I wrap this up, the word testimony in Hebrew, to my friend David, and I'm gonna butcher this. I don't know how to exactly say it, but I'm gonna try. It's eud. In transliteration, it's UWD. Eud. Kind of like dude without the first D. Eud. 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 So it means it means to admonish. The word testimony. means to admonish, to go about, to repeat, to do again. And when we rehearse what God has done before, we are inviting him to do it again. That's why I released that testimony about the lady with the wrist that Jesus healed in the drive-thru. Jesus does drive-thru healings, man. He does. He does to go. He does to-go healings. Amen. Not all the time. You need to get in the church, but amen. Said all the pastors in the house. Amen. You got to come to church. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. To remember the wondrous acts of God is to impregnate the atmosphere. To remember out loud the wonderful works of God is to impregnate the atmosphere. To recite the things God has done, amen, is to impregnate the atmosphere, to seed the clouds for rain. And it's to beckon the God of miracles to move again, one more time. But God, they cut my hair and they gouged my eyes out. But if you'll move one more time, I know my hair will grow back. Just put my hands on this pillar and that pillar like Samson. And you'll have your greatest victory. One more time. Just move. One more time, God. Just one more time. Just one more time. One more time. For this generation, move one more time. And I felt like this word was specifically for the Epicenter and everybody who's here this morning, for you personally, but corporately as well. It's Job 8, verse 7. I don't read the book of Job. I skip it. I'm kidding. But I don't really like it. I read Job 1, and then I read chapter 1, and then I skip all the way to chapter 42. I'm like, he lost it all? He gained it all. Good. All right, next. I'm just like, you know, end of debate. But Job 8, verse 7 says, "And though you started with little, you will end with much." And I just release that over you. And do we believe it? Will you believe that word that from the Lord that, "And though you started with little, you will end with much"? But I didn't feel the electricity on that word. Let's move on past that and get into the maturity where it just has to be written in the Word of God. Let's start there. I believe that. Moving into maturity. But I'll say this, believing comes by surrender, not by striving. And Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that testifying of the good things God has done, there may not be a lot that you can think of. Just find one. He loves me. Lord, you love me. That's my testimony to the world. You love me and you've changed my life. I'm not the jerk I used to be. I'm not as big of a jerk as I used to be. Whatever, wherever you're at, when Jesus gets a hold of you, he will change you. And Lord, we praise you for that. But it releases him to do it again. Israel spoke their way into the wilderness. Didn't they? It was supposed to be an 11-day trip, right? But then they complained. They bought the bad report from the 10 spies who had the negative report. And it turned them back into the wilderness. So they spoke their way into the wilderness. Jesus spoke his way out of the wilderness. It is written, it is written, it is written. Where are our words leading us? Coin the phrase. Whatever God has spoken to you, coin it. Put it in your heart, put it in your pocket. Keep it in your mind. Ever before you. We are responsible to keep the word of God in front of ourselves, in our own heart. Amen. I love Pastor Easy and Lena so much because that I've been in fellowship with them, close fellowship, since I think it's 96 or 97. I had just gotten out of Christ for the Nations. I youth pastored for a year. And then I got plugged in with this precious power couple who know how to believe God. And it's an honor to share this platform this morning with you all. And I just release the blessing of God over this house. And Lord, let every prophetic word that you've ever spoken over this church and this congregation and every individual come to pass, Father. We hold on to you. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.